Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Adam Wilson, CEO of Ben's Creek. Welcome back, Adam.
Hi, guys. Long time no speak. How's it all been going?
Been going good, Adam. And you?
Yes, good, good. Well, you probably saw we had a sort of Q&A last week. We released a video to really give the people that didn't make the trip some idea of what the project looks now. It really has come on from the early days. I sort of did touch on, I think you'll have seen, about maybe being not so enthusiastic as I was when we first listed, very excited about the project. I remain excited, but, you know, we're trying to actually get some real numbers, production, quarterly production updates, and move away from this remediation, building a business, creating shareholder value, into now delivering actual profits.
Okay, so in a lot of the questions, an awful lot of the stuff was leading around, as I listened to the podcast and we distributed it for our listeners as well, because I thought it was very useful.
Sorry, it was a bit long there. I think it was 44 minutes, Kevin. I hope no one fell asleep, but I really wanted to...
I was asleep anyway. No, I'm only joking.
You answered around 40 questions, so fair play.
45 questions. We pretty much answered. If there's anybody from the roast that felt we didn't answer a question, I know Kevin's going to touch on one or two, but, you know, again, I really want to, you know, get the point across. We're here to answer questions.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to be clear on the financials, because there was many questions on the financials. Sure. So just give people a rundown, because there's all sorts of crap and rumors in the market about this, that, and the other. So how much do you get per ton? How much does it cost you per ton? And, you know, what are the margins? And as obviously your production increases with economies of scale, how's that going to help Ben's Creek? So just give us your
I'll try and touch on it again. It is a little bit complicated, and some of the confusion has come with the quoted price that comes up on Platts that I know a lot of shareholders look at. And they say, oh, that's $250 today. You know, and you talk about 100 and this and 100 and that. So Joe, just go over it one more time. That quoted price is an FOB East Coast price in metric tons. Okay. We are taking off about $90 from that price. You firstly have to convert from the 250. If there's a discount, if the broker or, you know, your sales agent's taking a discount for the financing and providing the logistics, you then have to convert from metric ton to short ton. Now, there's 2,208 pounds in a metric ton. There's only 2,000 pounds in a US short ton. So all of our costing is done in US short tons. That's about a 10% discount, maybe $25 at today's price, give or take. And then you've got to take off the rail rate. A lot of questions about the rail rate. The rail rate is linked to the selling price. The railway monopoly, they're very smart. They link the cost of the freight to the sale price. So it's not the same. It's not a fixed price. But if you work on something like $90, so when we're talking about $250 on the high vol B quoted price that a lot of shareholders are looking at, that equates to about $140 on the actual net price to the customer. So there's two ways that we've been selling the coal. One on index, where you then take off the $90. And then secondly, a net price to the company, which is a fixed price. And that's going to be all things equal. If the index is $250, we would be looking to net somewhere around $140. Now, obviously, that different is bid and offer. Someone might offer 136, someone might offer 144, and we might trade on either price. But that's the first thing, right? To understand that it is not, we don't receive $250 a ton. There are three factors that come off, and they equate to very roughly $90 a ton. Is that clear?
Yeah, and hence the reason why when the price was 450, you were talking about a $200 margin.
Correct. The more the price goes up, the more it drops to the bottom line. But let's cut to the nasty bit, which was the summer of this year, the low point when the index was around 191. Okay, that's the lowest it got to. It's 250 today. So $60, give or take, away from where we are now. And at 191, again, it's not an exact price, but roughly take off your $90, you're down at $95 to $100 received to us. We were making a loss, and that is shown in the financial figures to March. We will have a small more of a loss to September, but post-September, it's picked up. We've added these $60 to the current price, where it is $250. And now let's go into your question, you know, where are we and, you know, what is a profit? So our costs at about 50,000 tons of production each month gives us cost per ton net to us of around 116, right? And that, now if we're selling at 140, which is roughly what we have been doing since the price picked up, that gives you the margin.
Okay.
So you can see the difference, right? You can see the difference from the horrible period to March, even through the summer. So it was bad in the summer. People contract. A couple of shareholders have done that. They've tracked the high vol B price, and it really does look, it's almost a match to our share price. So as you say, when it was 450, we were in clover, making great margin. But we'd only just started. We didn't get a lot of trains out at that price. At 191, we were in, it was horrible. You know, we were selling at a loss. At 250, the equivalent, 140, gives us a nice margin. We're happy again. We're all smiling. As you saw in the video, people are waving. That is a great price for us. And if it rises from there, it drops, almost all of it drops to our bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine every $10 that goes up here, you're talking about somewhere in the region of $7 to $8 of that drop
exactly
to your
right.
bottom line.
You're exactly right. There's a little bit more cost in making the coal, but make a high wall miner is a variable cost. And, the rail rate will go up as the price goes up, but we are keeping the majority of the rise, which is what makes the... So I have seen on some comments that we're all-time low coal prices. That is not true. Guys can access the high vol B index. It is today 250. Around the summer, it was 190. 190 is hell. 250 and above is heaven.
Okay, very good. So you've obviously signed some new deals with Avani since we last spoke, but until this point, obviously, Avani have taken no trains. So who has been dealing with the purchase and arrangements of all the coal that you've been producing?
Yeah, I really ought to give a big shout out to Integrity Coal Sales. They have been, until Avani came along, and remain our biggest customer. All of the trains shipped out until this point were done through Integrity. They've built up a client base for us. Some very big names on there. We don't really want, to sing those names out. One of the names, though, is the world's biggest buyer of coal, and we completed a contract with them recently, an index-related contract. So Avani have done a fantastic job. It's a great team. I detailed on the question and answer session how they give us a prepayment. I don't want to give exact numbers, but they pay some of the money up front, the rest of the money goes when the coal leaves. We've obviously got a lot of profit tied up in the large amount of inventory that we have. Integrity have been dealing with the rail, and it's not been easy for them with the NS having its issues, but they've kept us going, they've kept us in advance, and now the trains are freeing up. Obviously, it's great to have them there. We're obviously pleased to have Avani as well, but in no means are we going to stop trading with Integrity. They're a great source of bringing sales to us. We've sold a lot of the coal, even though it hasn't shipped yet. And, it's a very, very professional team in the US. We started with one or two customers of theirs. We sell the coal to them. They on-sell it to their customers. They have expanded that client list to some of the greatest, biggest names in the industry. And a big thank you needs to go out to Integrity for the hard work that they've put in with our team, making sure that these trains have been coming, that we have been booking sales, and that we've been getting paid in advance each time we build up an inventory. So, you know, thank you very much, Integrity.
Very good. So tell us how you see 2024 panning out, Evan.
Well, again, for all investors in Benz, first thing they got to be looking at is the coal price. Again, I'm probably overly optimistic. From where I sit, it looks to me like there's a lot of defense, increased spending. You'll see the defense stocks are at all times high. They are a demand on steel. You've still got these infrastructure bills that are coming through, somewhat of them, I hope, but they're still moving forward. India, in particular, looking to expand from 100 to 300 million tons of steel a year. So all of these underlying commodity prices are all good news, all bends, provided they stay where they are or go higher. Production, we're ready to produce more tonnage. We need these trains to come. We have limited storage area. I went through that in detail on the question and answer. The good news is, since the difficult time when NS did scheduled maintenance on their rotary dump, we have seen 2 trains a week for the last 3 weeks. If that continues like that, that'll be great for us.
Good. So next year, you know, the hope is that you're going to be producing 50, 60, 70,000 tons a month and obviously selling that at a profit.
At a profit. And I think another question you asked, which we probably have suited over a bit, what are the economies of scale in getting to 60, 70,000 tons? We're about 116 at 50. If we get to 60, it drops to just under 110. And then at 70, you know, you're sort of mid-100s, 105, 106. So we're dropping $5 or $6 a ton on average as we increase the production by every 10,000. We're limited here, as I think I've always said, to sort of 70, somewhere between 70 and 80,000 tons, just because the storage area only holds about 100,000 tons. The railway are struggling to bring more than 7 trains in any 1 month. And logistically, you and Phil have just been to the site, moving the coal from the high wall miner, 2 of them, and the underground mine into the coal feed and then feeding it, you know, it would be because too many movements otherwise. And the plant itself is rated to about 1.2 million a year tons. So, you know, we want to leave some spare capacity there.
Very good.
I'm keen you guys coming out again this year. Hopefully, this year you're going to see the new equipment that was purchased. So now we're running the 2 mines. I think they were just started last time you came. Now there's a lot more benching in front of them. You saw some of that, hopefully, on the video, how much benching. You saw the excavator. That's relatively, you won't have seen that before, the PC1250. So, you know, it is all set fair. We need the following wind of the high commodity price, but, you know, there's a lot of shareholder value being built in the company. Now we just need to deliver profitability going forward.
For anybody who hasn't seen it, the video is a very, very good summation of what you will see at Benz Creek. When I watched it, it was sort of, yeah, took me back to what we saw, and I could see the overall situation, especially the wash plant, the feed for the wash plant, as in, you know, all the coal is stored there before it's fed into the wash plant. And then obviously the coal that comes out the other side and all the benching and the reclamation that has happened. It was very, very well done. So whoever did that, well done.
Well, I can't take credit for that, but I think if shareholders can just be that little bit more patient, I understand they've been paid. The market's not as strong as it was for small caps, but, you know, and I said it on the Q&A session, if you look at some of the listed coal companies, like, for example, Ramaco is a great example. It listed about 10 years ago. Only now is it really throwing off the cash. Everybody wants everything to happen tomorrow. But, you know, again, you know, we did start this project 21, first train left 22. Here we are in 23. most of, if not all of the work has been done. We do need the coal price to stay where it is or go higher.
We
also do need the train service, which I think, you know, has largely been rectified. But given that, you know, we invite any shareholders open to come and visit. We took every question. I know you had some guys' questions. There was somebody else said that we weren't going to only answer the questions that suited us. We answered every single question we were given.
Yeah, it was very impressive. So, well done, Adam. And yeah, we wish you all the best for the start of 2024 into next year. And we, you know, look forward to welcoming you to back on to update shareholders going forward. Thanks very much for your time.
The reason I'm really on, if I'm honest, is I know you have your 2012 stock till Christmas, and we want to know if we're still on that list, on the nice or the naughty list.
You went down this year, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry.
You're on the naughty list, Adam. I'm going to have to put you on.
We'll just have to do better, try harder, but hoping next year, really, from lows of the share price, I'm really hoping we're going to have a great year. Very optimistic going into 2024.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is from the point of view of where the share price is, you have a huge amount of potential. Of this, there is no doubt. I mean, to think that it could get back up to £1, I mean, it's possible, but I think unlikely in this particular market. But certainly the price at £54 million market capitalization as we stand at 13.5p, for what you have in both resource and what you should be kicking off in terms of profit, you know, is cheap, really, let's be honest.
Well, I think as well, Kevin, you know, a lot of people look at the high in the share price. Obviously, nobody was complaining. But one thing I would say, that if you map our share price against the coal price, the high vol B price, it was selling at $4.50 a ton at that time. Even with the discount of, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the show, the $190 to $100, you're still throwing off $200 to $300. Now, at that time, if you see a coal price at that high again, you know, projected, which we never got to, but we're close to now, even on $500,000 ton, you know, if you're throwing $200 a ton and you're making $500,000 tons, which we are making now, I think that is sometimes forgotten by some of the shareholders that sadly went in at the higher prices. It is very much a geared play on the commodity price. And we have seen, you know, $450 a ton, heaven, and, you know, all the way down to $191. We have been open with you and said there's a loss, and, you know, that's hell for us. So, you know, just look at the share price against the underlying commodity. Even though we weren't producing full production at that time, or even 50,000 tons at that time, obviously the market was looking forward.
I think a lot of the issues here is about the comparison between the coal price and the share price. I think with most commodities, they overshoot the mark, which was $450 a ton, and then undershoot the mark, which was $190 a ton. And at $190 a ton, many of the producers either went out of business or stopped producing. I mean, a few of the producers did close the doors at $190 because they couldn't afford to pay. They weren't going to work. And at $450, maybe more coal comes onto the market. And I think we also had a very different situation then, where with the Russians selling coal to whoever would take it at whatever price, because they needed to find a market for their coal because Europe wasn't going to take it anymore. So there was many, many factors. But I think when things start to balance themselves out, the demand for steel is still steadily increasing, and therefore met coal is going to be in demand. So let's see what happens. But I mean, I think...
Kevin, you put that absolutely on the nail. You hit that on the nail. That's absolutely right. You do get an overshoot both ways as you get a squeeze, and you may see a little bit of a squeeze now with the Panama drought, which I've now been informed about. It was one of the questions. I had to look it up. There are 50 vessels can't get through Panama Canal. You've got issues in Suez with the Yemeni Houthi rebels opening fire on some of these ships. Yeah, even if you get a temporary spike in the coal price, that's not what we're really about. What we are about is, you know, producing at a steady level and producing profits. And and delivering those in dividends going forward. It's great when we have a spike, but normally after a spike in the gold price, you get a precipitous fall. And that then sends, as you articulated, you get share prices that are up to 100 and down to 80. And that's not really what we want. We want the coal price to grow steadily year on year. But we're in the commodities business, and occasionally it does rise up and steeply fall.
Yeah, and it's nothing to do with you, but I think I predict coal prices will start to move towards $300 a ton and hopefully stay around that figure in the next few months.
That would be a great Christmas present for us and by extension, all our shareholders.
Yeah, so let's see what happens and hope that is the case for all of us concerned. And yeah, let's see.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Very much. Cheers, Adam.
Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.